And we're looking in the book of Hebrews today, and we're reading about Paul's letter of encouragement to the Hebrew Christians who'd undergone great affliction, real pressure, persecution. They were made to feel ashamed for their new belief in Jesus. And Paul's saying to them, don't give up on trusting in God to show himself strong on your behalf. As we shared last week, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Those who will complete the looking. His eyes are looking at us with purpose. And he's saying, look back and become part of that purpose. And then you will know my power working on your behalf. And that is the very act of courage, an act of the heart, a heart that's perfect in the sense that the heart that reciprocates, that gives back to the Lord by being mindful of him as he is looking at us with his eyes of purpose and meaning, saying to him, to us, what you're going through is not meaningless. It has got meaning. It may not be pleasant, but it's working something out for you. So courage, which comes from the word heart, courage, French word, cœur means heart. So let's call it heart, having heart. Courage is putting your heart into the truth that you believe in. You put yourself, you stand squarely in the truth that is your anchor that you believe in. And whether you're in fear or not, you actually commit yourselves and give your heart, your life to that. And we see acts of courage of people who do that. And they may have a truth that is noble, that they believe in, and they go into battle. And they put their life on the line. That's courage. And they believe in the cause and the worthiness of that to which they've been called. And it could be to fight, as they would say, in the world wars for God and country. It's a tremendous cause. It's a noble cause. And there are many noble causes. What Paul is saying to the Hebrews here is, I want you to put your heart in the truth that you know that you believe in, which is that you are sharing the life of God within. And he has given you a new way of life. And in the midst of your circumstances and your difficulties and the adversity and the malicious treatment from others that's happening to you, in the midst of that, continue to hang in. And that's what he's saying to the Hebrews. You see, that message is the rule of life. What we see in the book of Hebrews is what we see in the book of Genesis. And what we see in all of the books that are in the canon. The canon, a canonical book, means it's the rule, it's the theme, it's the meme, it's what God puts before us. This is what life with God is all about. It is being together as one, sharing life. And there is life and there is light that comes into the disorder and darkness of a separated life or a separated existence. That light comes in, and that word of light and of life and order is able to come in and bring that separated existence into order, into oneness. And so God starts off the entire narrative of the Bible saying, there was darkness on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was moving always. This is all part of the rule. This is the, if you like, the theme of God and us in the Bible. God and creation. God's intervention. And God spoke. God always speaks into something like that. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. And there was a division between the light and darkness. It could be seen for what it was, the light and the darkness. And that's the entire theme of the Bible. And every book in the Bible shows that theme. And it shows that what happens is that when darkness, which is that tendency to separate oneself from God, to flee from that place of refuge, to take on to oneself their own purpose, self-management, self-improvement, whatever, to live independently from that, that becomes the breakdown that God is always addressing. So he speaks then words of life into that, words of redemption, words of light that get that darkness to go. And every book in the Bible shows that particular story over and over. And here in Hebrews, we see the same story. People that had been given life and light had come awake, had come alive to God. And the tough times hit and they back off. So that's the story that we see right throughout the Bible. It's the canon. The canon simply means the rule. Every book that's in the Bible has to actually conform to the rule of all the other books. And that one rule goes right through. God redeems. He comes and intervenes and he brings order out of disorder, life out of death. It's there in everything. And that's what the Hebrews had been given. And when you see something like that so dramatically shown to us in every book in the Bible, we say, where did that happen? Well, it happened in the creation. It happened to Adam and Eve. The story of redemption. It happened to Israel. It happened to David. It happened to the kings. It happened when Jesus came on the earth, coming into the darkness of what was there and bringing life and light. And not only that, it happens in our lives every day. That's why it is so consistent. And that's why the truth, the grounding, the anchor of our faith is we have something that we can believe in that is always there, that has always been promised, and now through Jesus we have that life living within that is able to resurrect us out of the place of disorder, fear and flight and self-management back into the arms of God. But you know what it takes? Courage. It's easier to run and hide like Adam did. The story just repeats itself, like Peter did, the apostle. So God continues to say, no, I haven't gone. But look what he's got. Look what a promise he's got for us. And he tells us, get in there. This is for you. So he speaks to these Hebrews, and this church had been through so much. The entire book of Hebrews is Paul writing to a church that needed a challenge to not give up. And there's five warnings to the Hebrews. In chapter 2, he says to them, don't drift away. Don't let the word come in one ear and out the other. That word there, don't drift away, means don't let it flow by. Catch it. The word has come. Hold it. You can just hear the word and it goes in one ear and out the other. And things distract us. We don't hang on to that truth and anchor ourselves in it. He's saying to the Hebrews in chapter 2, don't do that. In Hebrews 3, he says, don't harden your heart when things get tough. Enter into that rest. Trust me. Continue to believe. In chapter 5, he says to them, you're not hearing me deeply enough. You're getting it, but it's somehow shallow. And you've given up on the depth of what you've been taught. You should be teaching others by now. But you need milk again. I want to give you the strong meat, which is my life and your life together. It's a strange challenge he makes to them in chapter 5 and chapter 6. You think, what sort of a challenge is this? You know what he says to them? Let's go on to perfection. Oh, all right. Show me the scriptures and the rules on that. Send me a fax, Lord, and I'll tick them off and I'll get to perfection. No problems. Now, when Peter writes about Paul writing these sorts of things, these things are difficult to understand. Even in the book of Hebrews, Paul writes and he says, let me now talk to you about Melchizedek, which are things very difficult to understand. Because this man had no father, no mother, but lives forever. Yeah, that's a bit difficult to understand. His name was Melchizedek. Yeah, but I want to tell you about, and he was a priest forever. He lives as a priest forever. Well, what are you talking about? Yeah, that's hard to understand. And then he speaks about Jesus, who is our Melchizedek. And he says, when you, and this is perfection, that's his actual doctrine, because it goes through for two or three chapters. And perfection is that you get that message, that you are connected to Jesus who has gone into the heavens to link us in our humanity to his divinity and humanity together in heaven, and to have us abiding in him and him abiding in us. And as we are moment by moment conscious of that, we are on the way to perfection. Perfection is kind of a goal, yeah, but it's like it's always a step-by-step process of I'm getting there. You mean it's every moment? Yes, conscious that we're living a life together. Let's go on to that so that nothing separates us. That's going on to the completion. That's what perfection is, really. It's just completing, like let your heart be perfect. However, it's wonderful to know that it's there, and it's good to know that we can go on to that, because we have within us the Holy Spirit telling us that it's there and reminding us, I'm here. I'm working within you to give you understanding and revelation. But what gets in the way? Our humanity, our appetites, other things, the distractions of what we call the self, the me self. But nonetheless, it is there to be appropriated and lived in by faith. And that takes courage to let go of the other things that we think are a little bit too precious for us to let go of. God says, no, be courageous. Give your life to this. You think, well, it'll never happen. Well, let me tell you, one day there won't be this body that's getting in the way, and there won't be this soul that wants to do its me-self thing. We will see him face to face, and we will be one. We will be as he is. Yeah, well, that will be totally perfect. Would you agree? Right. So I'm not saying, well, I just can't wait for that perfect church. Well, I'm not going to actually get stressed if I don't see it, the perfect church. I do know that when we see Jesus, we will be perfected. And all I'm interested in is being on that pathway of making the oneness real. So that's what he says to them in chapter 5. Then in chapter 10, he says, don't cast away your confidence. Chapter 12, he says, don't fall short of the grace. Don't despise the inheritance. So I'm going to just focus on chapter 10 about the confidence, the courage, and the hope. Okay, let's just have a look at that. Hebrews 10:33. Some of you were on centre stage with insults and threats. Can you imagine being on stage? You think, where does it say that in the Bible? Well, it's a strange word, the word for centre. Well, the word is you're made a gazing stock, like you're. And the word is theatrizo, which we get the word theatre from. So you're in the theatre. You were there being gazed upon, with insults and threats being hurled at you. And some of you stood firm with others who were getting that kind of treatment. You certainly felt for me when I was chained up and treated like that. You didn't seem to care how you were treated or what was taken from you. You knew you had a greater and abiding heavenly treasure. He's reminding them, you've touched it. So don't lose that confident expectation of God that you lived in and spoke with, because it generates a great and mighty reward. Paul's thinking to himself, why should I have to tell these people something that they already know? And we can think, oh, well, that's just those silly Hebrew Christians. That's all they were, not like us. You know what I mean? Don't they get it? God says, hang on, folks. This is you too. This is you. When you see something canonical in the Bible, it is God speaking to creation, speaking to Adam and Eve, speaking to Israel, speaking through the prophets, speaking to the kings, and speaking to us. That's what makes it so real. And he knows that this is what we go through. That temptation to cut and run. It's all too much. You need courage. I need courage. We need courage. And it has a great reward. Verse 36. But you have to see things through, so that having trusted God to the full, you will be rewarded to the full. He will arrive for you on time and will not be late. Boy, oh boy, have you ever been tested in that? Lord, when? When am I going to see some deliverance from this oppressive thing that's happening, or what this situation is, the circumstance? Lord, take it away. And you know what he might say? No, I'm not going to take it away. Oh, but Lord, I'm sure you're going to get me out of this. No, I'm going to come to you in it. That's the reward. It's not always I'm going to change everything that you would like changed to suit your comfort zone. It is, I am your reward. What he said to Abraham, I am your great reward. He will arrive for you on time. He will not be late. He arrives. Not always the thing that you want. This is what I prayed for. Yeah, I know. But what you're going to get is me. And then you'll see it all differently. And it'll go away, because everything that happens passes away. You know that? What is seen passes away. What is unseen stays. It's eternal. I want you to have that stays with you. And I want you to let go of the stuff that you can let go of if you've got courage. Next verse, 38. If you know you are his, you live by faith and trust in him. But if you lack the courage to trust him, you won't be pleasing his heart. But we're not like those who lose courage and walk away from him and waste everything worth living for. We are those who trust and believe and experience a powerful and ongoing conversion of our hearts and minds. That's not just to Hebrew Christians. Listen to the entire planet populated with 8 or 9 billion people. If they would hear it, what a privilege it is to have heard it. Would you agree? Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. And you know, the very next verse in the Bible is the next chapter. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. That's what it should be. I hope you've got that reference correctly there. Hebrews 11, 1. Where it actually says, now faith is the reality of your hope and expectation of God's goodness to be at work for your tomorrows. That's your hope. That's your expectation. It is also the assurance of his work on your behalf for today in the world of the unseen. That's your faith. I thought my faith was that if I prayed this prayer, I'd get what I asked for. Well, that's your faith, but if you want my faith, if you want real faith, it is you're going to get the best you could get above what you asked or thought, and it's me arriving on time with the goods, with the right thing that you need, in my will and purpose, which will carry you along with me in our will and purpose together. So courage requires confidence in a purpose and reality that is bigger than ourselves. I mentioned the soldiers that go to war. That would take courage. And you're his soldiers. That takes courage. Well, how do you get it? Psalm 31:24. All it says is you've just got to take one step into it. Be of good courage or good heart, and he will strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. So we might say, I feel too weak, I can't do it. And he says, put your shoulder, there's a big rock there, a boulder. I know you can't get it moving, but just put your shoulder to it. Budge it a half a millimetre. Holy Spirit gives us a little bit of strength and we get half a millimetre. Once that thing's moving, God says, you're moving in the right direction, your shoulder is to that boulder, I will now strengthen your heart. And now you're going to give yourself to it like you never thought you could. Because you're hoping, you're expecting me to be at work. That's true faith. And that's courage and hope bringing faith. So God shows himself strong by strengthening our heart. Not always by changing the circumstances from the outside, but by bringing a strengthening of faith inside. Now, then we get asked the question, do you want to do this? So Paul says to the Hebrews, are you going to give up or are you going to do this? And so what he's looking for is an answer something like this. I'll take this perfection process on board completely and let go of everything else. Oh, say that to yourself 10 times. And see what comes up on the bam, 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 bam. Alert, alert, this is danger, this is dangerous. Don't ask me to do that. You can edge yourself into it. live it, put your toe in the water. Oh yeah, get into the game. And there'll be little things. You can find, I can let go of that now. This thing is bigger than anything else. Yep, I can even let go of that thing that I thought I can never let go. I can do it now, thank you, Lord. And the reward is there. The joy and the peace. We decrease and he increases. Life changes. And we end up getting from Genesis to Revelation. Our hope, I'm talking now about faith and hope. Our hope is the expectation of God's goodness to be at work for our tomorrows. It's the basis for our faith. Just while we're sitting here now, think of what circumstances are robbing you of hope right now, causing pressure, stress, and you wish they'd go away. Well, I'm going to ask you to wish for something else. Wish that God would come into this and show himself to you strong on your behalf. That's the basis for your faith, and that's ours to experience continually and in all circumstances. That's the rest of faith. That's the power of faith. And we get the reward of watching what God does openly and surprising us by acts that only he can do supernaturally, that we could never have dreamed up. He moves things into the situation, moves other things out, clears the path, and his timing is perfect. So don't let's cast away our confidence. Let us have courage and let us have hope. Amen.